Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and open to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're in verse 14 to 18. And this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Inviting you to join us.
In the beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things became through Him, and without Him, nothing became that became. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. He was the true light, and He was in the beginning with God. He was in the world, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. And to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name.
And the Word became flesh and tabernacled in us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten with the Father, full of grace and truth. John witnessed of Him and cried, saying, "This was He who said, 'Who comes after me is become, was or created or become before me.' For He was first in regard of me. Because of His fullness, we all received, and grace upon grace. Because the law was given through Moses, the grace and the truth came to be through Jesus Christ. God no one has ever seen, and only begotten Himself God, who is unto the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Grace and truth.
I didn't really realize it until just this minute that John was talking that whole last little piece. John witnessed of Him and cried, saying, "This was He who said, 'Who cometh after me is come before me, for He was first in regard of me.' Because of His fullness, we all received, and grace upon grace. Because the law was given through Moses, the grace and the truth came to be through Jesus Christ. God no one hath ever seen, and only begotten Himself God, who is unto the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." Now, I didn't really ever think about that as John the Baptist talking, but there he is. Wow, that's pretty big.
And they were cousins. It's interesting how they, and the mothers met when the children were both in the womb. 6 months later, and Mary had conceived of the Holy Spirit, and when the babies met, in the one in the womb of one mom and one in the womb of the other mom, John the Baptizer jumped. He leapt Yeah, I wonder how that felt to the mom, you know, about a baby kicking you. He jumps in the womb of his mother, celebrating the king is here. He's coming in glory to catch his church away. It may be in the morning, it may be at midday, at evening or noontime, the trump shall sound so clear. The dead in Christ and we that live his voice shall hear. The king is coming. Hallelujah. He's coming in the air. The fig tree is budding, the signs are everywhere, the saints are looking ever upward while journeying on their way. He's coming, hallelujah, to catch his church away. And church is ecclesia, the called out group. It's not talking about a church building. No church buildings are going to be jumping up in the air, but his group of his select, his called ones that he's called out of this world are going to meet him on that day. That's interesting, Andy, the way you picked up on that. These are things—
I only missed that for like 35 years. I figured I would pick it up today.
I've been around longer than you, so I've missed some things much longer than you have.
Okay, good, Tom.
So I guess that makes me slower than you, Andy.
Wow.
Okay, 19 through 28.
And this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent unto him from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and said, and denied not, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then art thou? Art thou Elijah?" And he says, "I am not. Art thou the prophet?" He answered, "No." They said therefore to him, "Who art thou? That we may give answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said Isaiah the prophet." And they had been sent from the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then baptizest thou, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water. In the midst of you stands one whom you do not know, who comes after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose." These things came to pass in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing.
You know, this book of John is very interesting. It's different than all the rest. He takes the first 13 verses and he goes all the way back to the beginning. We don't know if it's eternity past. I think it's eternity past. Chapter 1, verse 1 is eternity past. Now, Revelation, he's going to go eternity past to Alpha and the Omega, to eternity future, but then he's going to say who is, who was eternity past and eternity. So you talk about a big view. So this is going to be, if you look at Revelation, this is half that view. This is from now, well, 2,000 years ago, as far as we could see, this was written 2,000 years ago. From 2,000 years ago, without end, in the past. This is where this starts. Matthew started 4,000 years ago with Abraham. Luke started 6,000 years ago at Adam. And this starts in the beginning. So it starts in eternity past and it comes to now, brings everything to now. Or to the present then, pardon me, let's put it that way. It comes to 2,000 years ago with Jesus and the witness of John talking about him and who came before Jesus. And you're the one that's done a lot on John the Baptizer. What did you see in this context, Andy?
Well, he's doing a lot of talking still, isn't he?
John the Baptizer is, yeah.
He's doing a lot of talking, and they're
Well, he says he's not the Elijah.
He says first of all, they wanted to know who he was. And he says, I'm not Elijah. And they go, well, who are you? He says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet. And so then he goes, well, why are you baptizing if you're not Christ or Elijah or the prophet? And then John says, I baptize in water, but in the midst of you stands one you don't know, who comes after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. And he didn't tell him what he was talking about.
And that's somebody greater. Now, he was a son of a priest who is able to go before God and offer incense. He was able to go right before the veil. And if John was to be in his lineage,
he would have been doing the same thing.
I said image and lineage together, and I came up with limage.
Limage.
Limage. Anyway, if you know me, you'll know that's pretty normal. Quit looking at me like that, Brent. Anyway, in the same lineage as Zacharias, a high priest, how many of those people could go before? Two of them? They could go to that place. And so John the Baptizer is the next high priest, and actually he was even greater because he was the one coming before Jesus, and now he's going to look totally different. He's not going to wear any of the priest's garbs. Camel's hair? What?
Well,
no precious gems, but camel's hair?
Right. Well, and the only one, he's definitely going to look different because of the very fact that he was born filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's that piece. But yeah, he wears.
Well, that's not the look. That's not the look of him. That's the makeup of him.
Yes. Right.
But the look of him was to look like a priest. But in Matthew,
he wasn't wearing all
and Mark and Luke, he didn't look like this at all.
Now, how many people were going out? Did we look at how many people were being baptized by this guy? All the crowds were following Jesus, and it just got to the point where they could hardly eat or do anything, and the crowds were hanging on Jesus' every word. Wasn't there quite a bit of people that
John the Baptist came before Jesus. So if he became before Jesus, and it said that John was in the wilderness and the word of the Lord came to John. So John was out in the wilderness. He was a priest. He wasn't dressed like a priest. He didn't eat like a priest. And he was away from the temple. And it was in the wilderness until the word of the Lord came to him. And you never guess what that word was. Repent. And so when he started talking, because all of the people, and you'll find this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when he was born, it was a very big deal, and everybody knew something special had happened. His mother and his dad had never had children. They were advanced in age. They had this child. His father, because he wouldn't believe what an angel told him about it, he was going to have a son. He told him, well, you'll be mute until he's born. And so now his father, who is a priest, has been mute for 9 months, and he's born, and his father says his name is John. And then everybody wondered at his birth, what will this person become? Well, many, many years passes by, and now he's about 30 years old, and he's out in the wilderness wearing camel's hair and eating honey and grasshoppers. And here they sent people out to John to ask him about things, and he started talking here about someone's going to be following after me. And when the word of the Lord came to John and he started telling people to repent for the kingdom of the heavens at hand, all of the people in the cities went out to John at the Jordan River and were baptized, them confessing their sin. And this was something that the Pharisees didn't like. They were losing people. They went out there to see what was going on, and John welcomed them. in this regard. He says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits of repentance. And don't begin to say anything other than repent. And so that's how that story, and so all of these people followed John and followed John and followed John. And then Jesus came down to him in Matthew 3. You can read that, to where Jesus came down to be baptized, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And at this point, and there's more to say about that, but at this point, John said that he had to decrease and Jesus, he had to decrease and Jesus had to increase.
What is that one scripture that said all Judea went out to John?
I have my finger on both of them.
Go right ahead, actually.
Please.
Matthew, so Mark. In Matthew, well, actually, let me read Mark first because it's interesting what it does here. So
I'll read Matthew first.
Yeah, I was going to say the same.
Matthew, Mark, okay.
Yeah, do remember stairs.
We're going to start in the beginning.
Do stair steps.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Got it. And if you did, that's because I probably taught you that, Brett. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. So in Matthew 3, starting in verse 5, well, I'll start in 4. It says, now John himself had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loin, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then went out unto him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region about the Jordan.
That's the scripture I was thinking about.
And in Mark.
Now, say that again.
Yeah.
Jerusalem, all of Judea, and all the region around the Jordan. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Wow.
That's giant amounts.
That's huge.
Yeah. And
and he wasn't even Jesus, but he was a son of God. He had the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Mark says the same thing, but it's missing a piece. It says, and all the country of Judea went out unto him, and all they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river Jordan. So in Matthew, it gives you...
The Jordan, it's a little bit bigger around the Jordan River,
it gives
too.
You all the areas around the region around the Jordan.
But the second one said all Judea and all of Jerusalem.
Right.
And the first one is the region around the Jordan. That's something. And then by the time he goes, they're all sent to Jesus. And by the time Jesus increases in his ministry before they kill him, they're all going after him. And after Lazarus was raised from the dead, the Jewish leaders, the ministers, they were done. They had nobody to minister to. The whole church was following Jesus.
These people had 30 years to be enamored with John, and they remembered who he was, and they kept their eye on him for 30 years. And then finally, here he starts talking. I mean, people have been waiting.
Because he's the high priest's kid.
And they knew the whole story of it. And so imagine if you were 20 years old when he was born, you'd be 50. So 30 years passes. You have to think about that. This is a lot of time has passed, but still they recognized who he was.
They see his dad couldn't talk for 9 months.
They knew the story.
Yeah. And they saw him all of a sudden when he mentioned his name, it wrote it, that it was John, and then said, that's it. He got his voice back, and they all marveled it, and they knew that something was different about this child. But he sure didn't look like a priest.
You know, I'm curious about this part, because here in verse 19.
We're in John 1, right?
John 1, 19.
Okay.
And it says, and this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent unto him from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not. And he confessed, I am not the Christ. So we know who he's not.
The Christ means the anointed one.
Correct.
So even though they expected him to be anointed as priest, he set that straight. He went right at the priesthood. Christ means anointed. I'm not the anointed priest.
And then they asked him, "What then art thou? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not."
So now he went after the priesthood, and now they're going after the prophets. Are you a prophet?
Yeah.
Are you a prophet?
So he says, "I'm not." And then they go, "Art thou the prophet?" So he's already answered them with Elijah. "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So that was three no's. Are you the Christ? Are you the anointed one? Are you Elijah? Or are you the prophet? He denied all three of those. I was interested in that piece.
They knew who he was. They knew where he came from, but they didn't know why he was doing all this. And so they come with all these interrogation questions to determine in their mind, is this something that, who is this?
Right.
We know this story about this baby, but this guy now is out here. What did he grow up to be? Who is this guy? We're trying to figure out who he is. And they thought he was important people. They were trying to, they did think he was important. They were trying to determine it.
But that's like prophet twice there.
But the prophet.
The prophet. That, I was curious about that because we know. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
Well, you think of Jesus as the prophet, right? Or the apostle.
And they wanted to know if he was going to be the Christ, the anointed one.
Mm-hmm. They asked that. And then, are you Elijah? Are you the prophet?
The prophet. I thought that was interesting. I was curious about that because it was anointed prophet twice. But it says, well, he's a witness.
And he answered no.
He answered no to the prophet, to all three of those.
So do we read all this way about baptizing in water and so on? We've already read the 28, right?
No, I'll start in 25 is where we were. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then baptizest thou if thou art not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?"
See, there's three things in there different. The anointed one, Elijah, nor the prophet.
And John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water. In the midst of you stands one whom you know not, who comes after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. These things came to pass in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing."
Do you see what it's saying? Are you the Holy Spirit? He's talking about baptisms. There's three baptisms. Baptized in the cloud, baptized in the sea, and in one spirit baptized into one body. Jesus is going to send. He's going to go to the Father when this is all done and send the Holy Spirit. And it says you'll not need a man to lead you, but the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. I believe this is talking about the Holy Spirit.
So these people that asked these questions, they had some knowledge about what they were talking about, and they had some inquiries. They wanted to know.
Who can prophesy any better than the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, none. I see.
Who's the anointed one? Who's more anointed than Jesus Christ? Who can tell you without fail exactly what's going to happen? It's only the Holy Spirit. And then he goes in and talks about two baptisms, and we know there's three. And that last baptism in one spirit, into one body. You need no man teach you, but the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth.
That's a big piece. What you just said was, that's a pretty big piece.
Well, you asked the question.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen when we get to the next one. So we're going to get a taste of this prophet that God is talking about. This is laying the groundwork for the next step, isn't it?
Exactly. That's interesting.
But that's all we're going to talk about it here.
Yeah. Can't go too deep.
Next context.
The Andean breader. Okay.
On the morrow, he seeth Jesus coming unto him and says, "See the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who has become before me, for he was first in regard to me, and I knew him not, but that he be manifested to Israel, for this I came baptizing in water. And John witnessed, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he abode upon him. And I knew him not, but who sent me to baptize in water, he said to me, Upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same is he that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have witnessed that this is the Son of God.
See what just came up next?
The Holy Spirit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's talking about it here, isn't it?
Sure.
It's talking about the Holy Spirit three times. Isn't that interesting? We're all baptized in one Spirit into one body.
So John says a lot of stuff. He knew a lot of things.
Well, so we really had license to talk about it here, didn't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked the question.
I did.
Okay.
There it is.
The Lamb of God, see, ideo. Here, ideo is going to be introduced a couple of times. There is a blepo vision when people have their mind set on the flesh. That's the way they see things. Blepo, you know, like blepharitis is when your eyes turn red because of bacterial infection on your physical eyes. Physical sight is blepo. And then theorio is when your mind theorizes things. That's your mind. And to ideo is to see in the heart. It's the spiritual eyesight. And we're going to see at the end of this book, we're going to get into, we drew some kind of interesting illustrations of Peter and John running to the tomb when Jesus is raised. And you can really see those three types of eyesight, you know. So here it's being introduced right here, this ideo, that see, look. And he's telling them to look spiritually from the heart. Not, you cannot see it in your mind's eye. You cannot see it in the flesh. It has to be from the heart. And see in a spiritual sense, on the morrow he sees Jesus coming unto him. This is John the Baptizer, and why is he able to say that? Because he's Spirit-filled, and he says, see, look with your spiritual eyes now. And how much now we've gone into the Spirit right here? Look, this is spiritual sight.
It's all over the place, isn't it?
And here this sight is introduced. The first thing, the first instruction is to see. The first instruction in Matthew is change your mind, because this is the kingdom of the heavens. This is the first instruction now from John the Baptizer. See, open your eyes, look with a spiritual eyesight, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We're going to have to close. It looks like we're coming to an end. We're going to talk more about the spiritual eyesight and the Holy Spirit being introduced and telling us to see the Lamb of God. We're going to read that again tomorrow because it's found twice. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.